For the psalm meditation today, let's turn to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, and I'll read from the New King James Version. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the numbers of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens their cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Okay, here in Psalm 147, we have the psalm again that starts and ends with the phrase, Hallelujah, as it's often said in English anyway, or Alleluia, as it's sometimes said. But it translates as praise Jehovah, praise Yahweh. And again, a reminder, take the word or the name of our God and, with reverence. And be careful not to take it in vain. Again, this psalm is a praise to God, and as we've been looking in the last several, and we'll continue through to the end of this book, it's praise for a God who created, who has taken care of his people, a God who has made a way for salvation, has made a covenant to rescue his people, whose providence rules on the earth, a mighty God who can do all that he said he was going to do, and who does everything well. It starts again, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. It is proper, it is good, it's beautiful to praise our God, to praise him for who he is and what he's done, for what he's done for us as individuals, what he's done for the church, for the covenant that he's made, the covenant to rescue his people, to save us. For his accomplishment of that covenant and all the benefits that flow from it. It is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. When we sing praise to our God, we declare to the world that the proper praise to our God in worship, the offering to our God of praise, is to be his word. And it's because this reason is said in this first verse. To give beautiful praise, to give proper praise to our God, it has to be perfect. And that, in a nutshell, is the reason why we sing the Psalms. There's a lot more to it than that, if you want a full explanation of it, or if anybody is curious about it listening on the internet or anywhere else, there's more information to be found. But the point that our God is perfect, and the perfect praise that he has provided is the best praise for him, is why we sing these Psalms. In verse 2 and on, we see that Jehovah, or Yahweh, builds up Jerusalem and gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This is a God who loves his people, who though he, for his good reasons and for the good of his people, allows hardship, allows trouble and strife sometimes to strike the church, he gathers up his people. He does rescue them. Healing the brokenhearted and binding up their wounds. It is a God who loves his people and takes care of them. He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. This is, the more we find out about how many stars there are, is more and more incredible to think about as we go on. The billions and billions of stars, as Dr. Sagan said, out there. He knows them all, and He has a name for all of them. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power, and His understanding is infinite. We have praise here for our God in showing in His Word that nothing's too great for Him, that there's nothing beyond His understanding, nothing He couldn't do if He put His mind to it, if He had desired to do so. And what does He do with all this understanding and power? He lifts up the humble and casts the wicked down to the ground. Could go into some time on this, but here we see that Yahweh, the covenant God, has determined and purposed to lift up the humble. Those whom He loves and who loves Him, He will bear them up and cast the wicked down to the ground. When we look around, and the church often falls into this trap, we think that, well, things are just too bad, either for us or the wicked are too strong. The psalm here is arranged to show us that the God who is determined to do these things is infinite in power and understanding. And so we should never despair that He's strong enough to do what He's purposed to do. Starting in verse 7 then, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He has provided for His people again. In His providence, He takes care of all the needs of all His creation on the earth. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. And the analogy here is if He cares for the ignorant beast and the ravens, how much more for His people that He's covenanted with, that He's covenanted to love and to provide for. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. And here we see His pleasure is in His covenant, in His people as well, not in the things that man sees as interesting, fun, pleasurable, or praiseworthy. And this could be used again to look at some of the worship practices of modern times, where the things that appeal to man are given, offered to God, when He does not take pleasure in those things. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion, for He has strengthened the bars of your gates. There we have the protection of God for His people. He has blessed your children within you. We see the inheritance of further generations. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. And you see that finest wheat that should sound familiar. It's found in other psalms as well, both of how He takes care of His people who are obedient to Him and how He would take care of those if they would just cease their rebellion against Him. He sends out His command to the earth, and His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool and scatters the frost. He is the God of providence again. He doesn't step into things once in a while to change things. The idea that we have of miracles, where things run on along by natural law unless God decides to change them, is entirely wrong. Our God has an intimate understanding and involvement in every little thing that happens. There's nothing too small for Him. And the Christian oftentimes, and I've heard this from many people, think their problems are too small to bring before God, that He's busy doing great things and He doesn't have time to worry about my tomato garden or whatever. The psalm here tells us it is His command, it is His word, it is His deciding that causes the plants to grow. It causes the wind, the rain, the snow, the water to flow and all the things that happen. There's nothing too small or too large. And both of those are dealt with in this psalm. Nothing too small, nothing too big for our God. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. The covenant people of God have His word. When you see His word, statutes, and judgments, those are often used as a summary of the covenant of God. His word, His scripture, His promise, His judgments, His declarations of right and wrong, His declarations of punishment for sin, but also His promise in the covenant of salvation from that sin through the blood of Christ. He declares His word to Jacob and His statutes and judgments to Israel, and we know those promises have gone now to the church. He has not dealt thus with any nation. The word there for nation is goyim. It doesn't mean necessarily a political subdivision of the world, But it was to the remnant of Israel, the people that he has called, that have alone had these judgments, these words, these statutes. The people of God have God's word, his promise and his covenant. As for his judgments, the unbelievers, the goy, the nations, have not known them. Our God is gracious and has given us all we need for our heart and our soul and our body. He tells us that he is the mighty God who can do the great things, so there's nothing too big. He also is the God who in providence deals with all the small things, so there's nothing too small. And he's given his promise again in the Psalm that he loves his people and delights in their delight, delights in their praise. Let's not minimize our God by saying that these things are too big and these others are too small and this thing isn't worthy of bothering him with. He promises that he loves his people. And he asks that we would praise him by giving him the credit of being able to help us, of wanting to help us, of being there for his people. As we sing this psalm, I've chosen the first part. We'll sing Psalm 147a. But as we sing of God building up Jerusalem, as we sing of the goodness of singing praise to God, let's sing this as praise, as an offering, as joy in our God, our Lord, and our Savior, who has done all things for us. Psalm 147a.